Welcome to NBA Today with Malika Andrews, live from Los Angeles.
Coming up on NBA Today, the Olympic Games, they are closing in fast, and Team USA has some cracks in the armor. We'll explain where they're most vulnerable in international play. Plus, the Clippers, they now say that they wanted Kawhi to play in the Olympics, but if he wasn't ready for Paris, will he be ready for the regular season? We discuss. And you can't win an NBA title in July, we know that, but that doesn't mean the Big Perk can't crown a champion of the offseason. We got a big list incoming. NBA Today starts right now. Welcome to NBA Today. He is our senior writer, Zach Lowe. He is NBA champ, Kendrick Perkins. I'm Malika Andrews, holding it down all by myself in our Los Angeles studios. I know, Zach, I'm sorry. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Can you believe we're already halfway through July, fellas? We're only 12 days away from the start of Team USA's official quest for gold at the Paris Olympic Games. They're 2-0 so far in their showcase exhibitions with wins, of course, against Canada and Australia. They play another exhibition tomorrow against the three-time NBA MVP, Nikola Jokic, in Serbia. And we heard that Brian Windhorst report on NBA Today the other day that he cannot wait for his crack at the U.S. And although Team USA has won both games, they have had some areas they need to clean up. That's what exhibition games are for. Look at this, though. This is a little bit hard to read, but they have allowed 50 points in the paint per game so far, and they've had issues with turnovers, as you can see right there, things that could slow the progress as they tune up for Nikola Jokic in Serbia tomorrow. So, Perk, I ask you this. Two games under their belt, but they haven't been perfect. This is what this time is for. What do you think their biggest question remaining is here?
Well, my biggest question is to Steve Kerr, and I'm wondering, when is he going to put Anthony Davis in the starting lineup and take out Joel Embiid? Look, Anthony Davis has been the best player on this Olympic team, right, on both ends of the floor. We just showed the graphic of opponents averaging 50 points in the paint. You know who could solve that? Anthony Davis. And so the way he's been dominating on the glass, cleaning it up like a fresh bottle of Windex, shot blocking, anchoring the defense like he's supposed to, he's been the best player. When I look at Joel Embiid right now, a question comes to mind, and it's a concern. He looks out of shape. He looks out of shape. And I don't know if it's because the rest period after the postseason and the injury that he had to his knee, resting it up, but he don't look good right now. Getting up and down the floor, he has no lift whatsoever. And when we're talking about playing on one of the biggest stage or the biggest stage representing our country, we need the five best players on the floor, and Anthony Davis should be in the starting lineup.
Look, these are exhibition games. Yep. This is what they're for. Joel Embiid sticks out on Team USA, and that's part of the reason why he's on Team USA. He's a different kind of big man than we typically have. We've been throwing him the ball in the post. That hasn't worked so well yet because he doesn't have great lift, and he's got to look to be more of a passer. This isn't the Philadelphia 76ers. This is freaking Team USA. If the double comes, make the easy read. And defensively, everyone else switches, but Joel Embiid is in a drop-back defense, a traditional NBA defense. He kind of doesn't fit the style that the Team USA plays. Yeah. And that's kind of the point of having him on Team USA, to give a different look to the team. But Perk is right. When the real games come, the decisions get harder. And Anthony Davis looks like Goliath right now on both ends of the floor, just absolutely destroying teams. And if they keep playing this way, he's absolutely going to earn the starting spot because he can switch, he can run, he can get out in transition, he can do all the stuff that Team USA has typically done in prior runs.
Drawing comparisons to both Goliath and Windex, it's quite the morning for Anthony Davis. But the biggest question remaining, it all boils down to, can this team win gold? Are they still winning good enough? Do they still have enough separation to win gold? And until they do, there are going to be these teeny tiny questions that we ask about, okay, how can they do their perimeter defense? Okay, what are they doing here on the inside? All of those questions add up to this one big one that we're all hoping and waiting to see, because we've spent so much time talking about whether or not the talent has gotten there. But Zach, I've said holy bleep at least three times today. What made you say holy bleep in these exhibition games?
This right here, Jason Tatum's got Patty Mills on him because of the switch on the other. That's Steph Curry on the kick-up pass. Oh, my God. And Edwards, no hesitation. Here he goes. And it ends up right where it started. Jason Tatum for a dunk. That is Team USA basketball. Yeah. Switches on defense lead to mismatches on offense. Tatum versus a little guy in Patty Mills. Swing, swing, swing. And the guys are swinging it to are not like 3-and-D NBA guys. It's Steph Curry and Anthony Edwards. And when they play with that kind of flow, Team USA is really, really hard to beat. And to Perk's point, yeah, they haven't really had that flow when Joel Embiid's been in the game. And that's okay. That's what these games are for. That's why Joel Embiid is here, to give them a different look and a different gear.
But do you think, Perk, is there anyone in your mind that is the biggest threat to Team USA in their quest to win gold?
Well, it's one person comes to mind who's a threat to anybody once he step on the floor, and that's Victor Wembanyama, and he plays for France. Okay, I'm looking at that team, and I'm looking at Victor Wembanyama, a guy that could be a nightmare on both ends of the floor. And we saw what he was capable of doing with the Spurs lineup, which I thought if me, you, Zach, Hillary and Jaren would have been out there, we would have played similar roles. But now he have better personnel around him. The Wimby effect is real, and I think they're the biggest threat to Team USA.
Look, it only takes one game. That's the danger of the Olympics. One game with 20 turnovers. Mm-hmm. One game where Team USA doesn't shoot well. One game where the other team shoots amazing. And when you have a player like Victor Wembanyama or a player like Nikola Jokic on Serbia, or Shea Gilgeous-Alexander and Jamal Murray on Team Canada, who I think is the most well-rounded top-to-bottom team outside Team USA. Those teams have the goods to beat the U.S. in one game, but it's going to take a bad game from Team USA. The talent advantage is just overwhelming player for player. The Team USA is, I keep wanting to say we, I got to get that out of me. Team USA are still the big favorites, but those teams are the three most dangerous to me.
Right, it's because that's why we're starting maybe the Supreme Team moniker to go along with Dream Team, the Redeem Team, seeing kind of what fits in for this 2024 team. You mentioned all the talent that's on this roster, Zach, and you're absolutely right, but one player that will not be in Paris is Clippers star Kawhi Leonard. He, of course, was replaced by Celtics guard Derek White on the roster. Now remember, Leonard missed 12 of the Clippers' final 14 games of the season with right knee inflammation. That's what the team was calling it. And Clippers president Lawrence Frank, he had some very interesting thoughts on Kawhi being left off that roster. Take a listen.
It was USAB's call, and I was, quite frankly, very disappointed with the decision. Kawhi wanted to play. We wanted him to play. You know, I expressed to them, I really wish that they would have given Kawhi more time. You know, he looked good to me. I know all the sacrifices he made in order to make this commitment to the Olympics. So it was very disappointing.
Okay, Perk. So Lawrence Frank, he's making his thoughts nice and clear. He says he wanted Kawhi out there with Team USA. But wait a second. Team USA, when they made their statement, they had said that it was the Clippers who were involved in this decision in not wanting Kawhi to go on and play in the Olympics and get ready for the next upcoming season. So what do you make of these latest comments from Lawrence Frank?
Well, I'm going to tell you this. If I had to pick a side and you ask me who I trust more, I'm going to tell you I trust Team USA and Grant Hill, and I'm going to tell you I trust what they're saying more than I trust what Lawrence Frank is saying. And here's why. Kawhi Leonard, head coach, is sitting on the sideline in Ty Lue. So I'm pretty sure that Ty Lue was in those practices watching him perform. I'm pretty sure that Ty Lue was heavily invested in those conversations evolving around Kawhi Leonard. And when it comes down to Kawhi Leonard, I'm actually kind of happy for the Clippers, and Lawrence Frank should be happy that he's not playing in the Olympics, especially when they drop the ball and losing Paul George and getting back absolutely nothing. You should want your franchise guy to get some rest, come into the start of the season healthy, and see how it goes from there. But I don't trust a damn word that comes out of Lawrence Frank's mouth. I'm sorry.
Wait, are we getting breaking news? There's mystery surrounding a Kawhi Leonard injury situation? I can't believe it. What has that happened before? This is the guy who was out in the playoffs against the Jazz 3 years ago, and it was like, maybe he'll play in game two. I don't know. We're going to have to see how he is in game three. Oh, he has a torn ACL. Like, this is just what happens. I don't read anything into any public comments from anybody anymore about Kawhi Leonard's injuries. I just want to see when he's on the floor, when he's not on the floor. and what the medical report, once it's official, and whenever, whatever it says. So I'm chalking this up to, I'm just moving on, see you in the preseason, hope he's healthy, because God right. knows they need him healthy, because what happens now without Paul George if Kawhi Leonard's out for 20, 25, 30 games? I'll tell you what happens now. You lose a lot of games and you end up in the lottery without your lottery pick.
Well, and that's the perfect segue, because Lawrence Frankie touched on a whole bunch of things. I do just want to remind everybody at home, though, this is what USA Basketball said in their statement. They said that, here we go, pulling it up. Yep, here we are. So he said that, they said that in conjunction with the Clippers, USA Basketball and the Clippers determined it's in his best interest, Kawhi's best interest, to spend the remainder of the summer preparing for the upcoming season. So that sounds like both sides had to come together and party a little bit there. But you mentioned Paul George. Lawrence Frank also talked about the goals of the organization, how they remain the same even without PG. Take a listen.
Look, we're trying to win a championship. That's why we brought this group together. That's why we gave up so much to get Paul and Kawhi. The unfortunate part of it, we only had one healthy postseason. That's not anybody's fault, but that's the reality.
The other reality is that they are opening up a brand new arena here that now there's no Paul George to play in. He's a 76er. And you heard what Lawrence Frank had to say. The expectation is still to win a championship. What direction do you think they're going in here, Zach?
Not towards a championship. And I don't think Lawrence Frank was talking, frankly, about this year. I think he was talking about the past and the gamble to bring Kawhi and Paul George together, which, by the way, was 1,000% worth it. He's right. You can acknowledge that it was a disappointment and it was a failure, but they shouldn't regret going for it. That's the point of being in the NBA and getting all these draft picks, to turn them in to players like that in their prime. But if he's talking championship, I think that's code for, we're sort of reorienting our cap sheet and our roster to give us more flexibility in 2, 3, 4 years to bring in a free agent, whoever that might be, to make better trades. I don't think Lawrence Frank or anyone with the Clippers imagines that the team they have right now is a championship level team. I frankly think it's more likely that if things stand the way they are now, that the Clippers miss the playoffs than get like a top four seed in the playoffs. That's where they are now, and I think they know that.
Malika, can you tell me what Lawrence Frank said again on that soundbite? Because as soon as he mentioned the word championship, I took my IB out of my ear because I didn't want to hear nothing else.
Well, Perk, he said that the expectations remain the same.
Remain the same far as what? Winning the championship?
Look,
Lawrence Frank, listen, here's the thing, right? Lawrence Frank, he got to be wishful thinking, or he has lost his damn mind. Here's the thing, right? You lose Paul George, you get back absolutely nothing. You have a Kawhi Leonard that you don't know if he's going to be available when it matters the most. You go in the offseason, and still to this day, the Clippers didn't do anything that was like groundbreaking, like for us to say, oh yeah, they legitimate threats for us winning the championship. They're not even a legitimate threat for us coming out of the Western Conference. They're not better than the Los Angeles Lakers. They're not better than the Denver Nuggets. They're not better than the Minnesota Timberwolves. They're not better than the Memphis Grizzlies. They're not better than the Houston Rockets, in my opinion, or the Phoenix Suns. Like, the list goes on. They're not even better than the Pelicans. So what is Lawrence Frank talking about? You know what they need to do? One, I think Steve Ballmer, he needs to have an evaluation, right? You have Ty Lue. You just signed him to a contract extension. He's there for the long haul. They have to really sit down and have a coming to Jesus meeting and say, which direction are we going in? And it's damn sure not winning the championship. They need to go into a rebuild mode. And if I'm the Clippers, I would consider trading Kawhi Leonard right now, because they're just stuck in the middle.
You're preaching, Park. I'm just going to get out your way.
No, but what I'm saying is this, Malika and Zach, where are they going at this moment? Kawhi Leonard has set them back 10 years. Ever since he arrived and put on the Clipper uniform, he set them back 10 years. You bring in Paul George, right? You have to give up SGA and a million draft picks, first-round draft picks. Sam Presti is doing his thing right now in the same conference. So now you're back to square one. You have Kawhi Leonard. You have a James Harden that you cannot trust when it matters the most, because history tells us he's going to fold like clean sheets. At this point, If I'm the Clippers, I feel like I should consider trading Kawhi and rebuilding.
Well, I was with Steve Ballmer yesterday, and I asked him in his first public comment since this trade what sort of he was thinking when he evaluates the team now. And he said, you know, I think I have proven that I'm always willing to pay if it's just about the tax. But when he was looking at getting docked those draft picks, particularly when you're talking about the picks that they gave up, that is something that the Clippers ultimately decided that they just could not stomach Perk. All right, we got a lot to get to on our show. It's a busy summer, guys. Still to come on NBA Today. Bronny James, he continues to struggle a little bit here in Summer League. So we're just going to discuss what he needs to fix to become that true pro in the NBA. Plus, what does Perk always say? Big Body Brunson, he took a team-friendly deal. So we'll debate if he's made the Knicks the number one threat to take out the Celtics in the East. And, I mean, we got trades. We got supermaxes, free agents, the draft. Now it's time. Perk's had a chance to evaluate it. Perk's top five teams that won the offseason. It's a big list. He's checking it twice. All that next on NBA Today.
In the city of Las Vegas.
This young man I am really excited to watch.
Oh, wow. He went mixtape.
Man, he is
back. No, he did not. This is what he does, and that's what he did. That looked easy for him.
Got it.
This is why I like this young man.
Wow, cocked it way back.
Cleveland on the run. Oh.
Wow, mad on that.
It's good to be here in Summer League. It seems like it grows every single year.
It's been another great Summer League so far, so let's take a look at who stood out last night in Las Vegas. First up, are we calling him Jared TikTok McCain now? He continued to get a Summer League green light from the field. He scored 11 points, 3 of 16 shooting in this one. So Perk, is he going to continue to post up a big number from beyond the arc for a Sixers team that was 19th in three-pointers?
He is, and I can see him getting heavy minutes this upcoming season, to be honest with you, Malika. This young man, McCain, could flat-out play. I can see Nick Nurse taking a chance on him coming in off the bench as a role player and then gradually graduating from there.
Well, then on the other side, Perk, Donovan Klingon, 8 points, 11 rebounds, 3 blocks, including a poster against the 76ers. So, Zach, should Klingon get the starting job on opening night?
I'm saying no, it's still going to be DeAndre Ayton, okay. But the Blazers know who they are. They know who's in the 2025 draft. He's going to play a lot. I'm more interested in Scoot Henderson, Anthony Simons, and Shaedon Sharpe and how that all shakes out.
Interesting. Reed Sheppard, he has been so impressive in Summer League. 15-point performance last night in a loss in this one to the Pistons. The third overall pick. He's now averaging 25-5 at Summer League. Perk, are the Rockets going to avoid, I'm not even going to say the lottery this season, are they making the playoffs?
They might. I think they're going to make the postseason. And look, Malika, they got a saying down here in the H-Town that go, hey, man, say, man. Look, hey, man, say, man. They got a hooper right here in Reed Sheppard. Not a basketball player, a hooper.
Perk, you're going to have to pull up in H-Town to see him. All right, the Lakers, they were in action, led by a 19-point performance from Dalton Knecht. This one in a loss to the Celtics. Knecht has averaged 22 points a game in Las Vegas. He's hit 41% from three. That would have made him the best Laker from that range last season. I know it's Summer League defense. It's a little bit different. But his fellow rookie class member, Bronny James, struggled a little bit here in this game, scored 2 points, 3 rebounds, and assists. Bronny has yet to hit a three in Vegas. He falls to 0 of 15 from deep, so it's just been a little bit of a rough start to the summer for Bronny here on offense. Look at this. He's averaged just under 5 points, as previously mentioned, yet to make a three, but the defensive effort, it's been there when he's played. 8 combined steals and blocks through 4 games. So in attendance last night at the Lakers game was Finals MVP Jaylen Brown. Hey, Angel Reese as well, but watch this. The lip-reading folks online saying that he's saying, I don't think Bronny is a pro, and that because of his name, he's going to be with the Lakers. All right. So later, Brown posted on social media. He said it's a flex to have your son alongside you in the NBA. It reflects greatness. It reflects longevity. Bronny has all the tools around him to be successful, and I look forward to watching his growth. Again, this is what Jaylen Brown posted responding to folks saying, oh, okay, well, looked like cameras caught you saying a little something there. Bronny, he's facing unprecedented pressure here, Perk, to start any career. But do you think, what do you think of what Jaylen said here? What do you think of his comments?
Well, one, he's entitled to his own opinion, Malika. And the fact of the matter is, let's be honest, Bronny, he hasn't played well in the summer league. That doesn't mean he's not going to be a pro or find his way through hard work. I think that he has the attention of a number one pick, but his production has been the production of a 55th pick. And that's okay. That's why he was drafted 55th by the Los Angeles Lakers, because it is going to be a process, right? But I will say this. Kudos to LeBron James. Kudos to Savannah James, because as parents, they have done everything and more for Bronny James. Now, as a young man, a grown man at that, the ball is in his court, and he knows. Now he got to continue to punch in the clock and keep chipping away at it. Again, we have to remind the folks, he was drafted 55th for a reason. I know he gets the attention of a number one pick, and I know he's struggling right now. It's going to be a process. Let's see what he looks like in a few months when he's played a couple games in the G League or when the season starts. Let's see his growth from there. But I have no problem with Jaylen Brown said, because it's his opinion.
Well, and Bronny even said, you know what, I feel like I'm in a little bit of a slump right now. And Bronny has given us every indication that he is more than willing to put in the work, put in the time, spend the time in the G League, and just figure out what it's going to take for him to be the best NBA player that he can be. In the meantime, NBA 2K25 Summer League, it rolls on tonight. More Summer League. We have four more games. The Pacers, the Suns, that's on ESPNU if you got that. That's at 4 o'clock. And then it's over to ESPN2. Hornets, Nuggets, followed by the Sixers and Timberwolves, the Clippers and the Bucks. They cap off the night. That's at 10 o'clock Eastern. Coming up on NBA Today, the Knicks. They went full supernova this offseason, but how long does New York really have for a championship before they burn out? What's the window here? And with so many talented rookies on their way, we'll take a look back at some of the greatest first-season slams, a special edition to Top of the Top. You've got to stick around for this video. It ain't my list. It ain't Zach's list. Big Perk, he drops his big list of top five teams that had the best offseason this summer. See if your squad made the cut. That's next on NBA Today.
Nova guys back together.
What were you saying? You were saying?
The New York Knicks have pushed their chips in to acquire Mikal Bridges from the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah! Back out to Brunson. His three. Hart takes. Hart tries another three-pointer. Oh! It's good! Orange and blue skies. The city is buzzing.
Yeah, Villanova in our blood, bro. What you mean? Like that's a bond there that goes beyond basketball.
Aw, the Nova Knicks, they're whole. And it could be for a long time. Jalen Brunson, he agreed to a four-year, $156.5 million contract extension over the weekend. Woj reported $113 million less guaranteed that he's eligible to sign a year from now. So that will give roster flexibility to a Knicks team who hasn't won a title since 1973. And now Jalen Brunson will be the face of the Knicks. He took to Instagram yesterday in an empty gym, except for the person who took the photo, saying nothing changes. So let's welcome in our senior writer, Chris Herring, to the conversation. Chris, thanks so much for making the time. Brunson, he just did something that we have never seen in the modern era of the NBA. We don't see a whole lot of folks saying, yeah, give me $113 million less. What does this tell you that he took this massive pay cut here?
I think it just tells you that he really wants to take seriously the role of being this team's leader and being in a position where he embraces the idea that I want to win more than anything else in this situation. At this point, they're obviously conceding to build a team in a way that has people that he's extremely comfortable with, that he's played with, that he knows their games as well as you really can in the league. And he's kind of already fit the profile of a leader from the standpoint of the way he's carried himself on court, the fact that he's going to sacrifice his body and kind of have essentially kind of a Willis Reed sort of moment at one point in the playoffs of coming back in the second half. He's done everything, I think, that he needs to do on the court. This is something that he's doing off the court to allow them to build the team in really an ideal way and kind of help them avoid some of the restrictions that would hinder a team in their position otherwise.
Perk, be honest. Would you do it? Would you take that pay cut, Perk?
Hell, Hell nah. Hell nah. He better than me. But look, he still got 156, though.
Yeah, exactly.
He still got 156. Exactly. But I ain't leaving 113 on the table. That's like me. That's like you asking me if I'm going to finish my food. I'm cleaning my plate.
Every single time. How long do you think, though, this opens up the Knicks championship window, though, Perk, doing what you said you would never do?
Oh, 4 years. 4 years, for sure. 3 to 4 years. And why I say that, you look at Jalen Brunson, Dante, and Mikal Bridges, all of 27 years of age. So they're just scratching the surface of their prime. OG is 26. Josh Hart is 29. So the core, Julius Randle is 29. The core of this group still are either knocking at the door of their prime or right in the middle of their prime. So they have a 3 to 4 year window. And guess what? Their books are not cooked. They still could go out and do what they need to do. So say that Julius Randle, he does come back, or when he comes back, they're going to give him an opportunity, right, to go out there and see if he could fit in with those guys. If he don't, all of a sudden, Julius Randle is eye candy to the open market. Now you could possibly move him in the middle of the season and continue to get better and add to the Villanova Knicks. Or is it the Nova Knicks?
We can do both, Zach.
Yeah, there's like a $12 or $13 million gap, $12 or $13 million between what Jalen Brunson could have made in those three seasons of this deal and what he's actually going to make. And that gap is a massive difference for the Knicks staying under that new thing we always talk about called the second apron. I had an agent tell me yesterday, put it like this. They essentially create an extra salary slot that right now is represented by Julius Randle. Maybe it is Julius Randle, but now they have the flexibility, if they want, to trade Julius Randle for a player who makes a lot of money that fits better. They also have access to the mid-level exception, the littler one, which they would not have had if Jalen Brunson was making everything he could have made. It definitely widens their window. It gives them more flexibility to add to this team. That championship window is open. Mm-hmm. And look, it's a huge sacrifice by Jalen Brunson. It's easy for us to sit here and say, well, he can sign his next max deal and recoup a lot of what he theoretically gave up. You just don't know what life is going to be like in 3, 4, 5 years down the line. It's a big sacrifice. Although he banks the money today, it's a big sacrifice to play with his college teammates in the biggest city in the country, in the biggest market in the country, and he's a star there.
Yeah, and the way I view it, too, is that this is a franchise that is so hungry for a title. The fan base, yep. I live here in New York. When you think about it, I had some people asking me on Twitter when I tweeted about this, well, like, they haven't won a title yet. They might not win a title. He's just going to end up taking the pay cut for no reason. This is a city that I think really tends to glorify people, even if they come up short, when they're giving everything they can to get one. Patrick Ewing was an example of someone that often did that as well. Jalen Brunson gives up his body. He plays for a demanding coach in Tom Thibodeau. As I said before, he came out after being injured in the first half of a playoff game against the Pacers. This is about the biggest sort of thing you can do in today's NBA when we're seeing the contracts escalate to the level that they have. You can put the statue up for him now, I think, in the eyes of most Knicks fans. This is a huge, huge step for them.
Yeah, this is a guy who wants to win, who is putting literally his money where his mouth is and saying, you know what, I will do whatever it takes to put a contender in place that can go toe-to-toe with the Boston Celtics in the East. And then, you know, from there, it's gravy and we'll see what happens. There's no denying it, right, Chris? The Knicks, they had a very strong offseason. But stick around with us because the question is it the best in the NBA? Chris, it is not your list. It is not my list. It is certainly not Zach's list. But Big Perk, he's been cooking up a big list of off-season winners. Perk, take it away, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, look, Malika, the hurricane tried to take me out, you know what I mean? And the hurricane tried to stop this list down here in Houston. But damn it, I'm going to find a way. Again, Chris, you new to this? This is not your list. This is not Zach's list. This is not Malika's list. This is yours truly list, okay? Winners of this offseason. Winners of this offseason. Here we go. We starting it up right here. Bam! Put it up there. There we go. The San Antonio Spurs. We were begging to get Wimby some players. What did they do? They went and got a point guard in CP3. One of the greatest point guards to ever play the game of basketball. You go get a championship wing and Harrison Barnes, a guy that knows how to play in the system, that's not going to take away from Wemby and what he's able to do, and that's capable of playing off of Wemby. Malika, give me some energy right here at number four. I need you.
Bam!
There we go. There we go. The 76ers. Okay, they draft McCain. I love that kid from Duke. You go out and you get Paul George. I love that. You take him from the Clippers, right, where James Harden is at. All of a sudden, you re-sign Tyrese Maxey. You sign Andre Drummond. You re-sign KJ Martin. You get back, you bring back a veteran leader and a home guy in Kyle Lowry, and now you still have, you're going into training camp with a great mixture of youth and vets to start your season off, and you have one of the best scorers in the NBA in Joel Embiid. At number three, Zach, where you at, Zachary? Give me some low here. Give me some low. I don't want no low. Give me some high. There we go. There we go.
I just bammed.
The New York Knicks. Listen, the New York Knicks, they signed back OG Anunoby to a contract extension. You re-sign Jalen Brunson to a contract extension. You get Mikal Bridges, the most important position in the league, the wing position, right? You get a guy that could defend at a high level defensively, a guy that could knock down three-point shots, and all of a sudden Julius Randle is coming back off an injury. Dead number three, the New York Knicks. I know Tracy Morgan gonna love me for this. That's my guy. Chris, I'm gonna give you an opportunity. You get one shot at this, and then I might consider bringing you back. Give me some energy right here.
I'm gonna try to give you the Emeril Lagasse. Take it up a notch, Perk. Take it up a notch. Go ahead.
Where's your bam, Chris?
Oh, I gotta give him a bam specifically.
Yeah, bam.
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 Yeah. There we go. There we go.
A rookie bam.
The Oklahoma City Thunder. Hey, look, Sam Presti has been doing his thing. Not his thing, his thing. What did he do? Soon as free agency hit, he didn't go out and sign anybody. He made a trade and bought in Alex Caruso without having to give up much. I understand Josh Giddey was a piece for Oklahoma, but he didn't play in this postseason. All right, then all of a sudden you go out and you sign Isaiah Hartenstein, a guy that has showed us in this postseason he's capable of being a starting center. High IQ on both ends of the floor. Right now, the Thunder has the best roster on paper in the Western Conference.
If the Thunder
and coming
two,
in at number one.
I'm dying to know. Go, Perk.
Bam! I'm gonna give you number one right now. Yeah, the Seeds. The Seeds. I know Wick Grospeck. I know Brian Scalabrine. I know Leon Poe. I know Joe Mazzulla. They've been in their feelings with Big Perk. But damn it, I'm gonna show you some love right here. You re-signed Jason Tatum to $300+ million. You got Jaylen Brown already locked up for the next few years. You re-signed Derrick White and Drew Holiday. Kristaps Porzingis is locked in. Your starting five, which is the best starting five in basketball, is all under contract, and you're bringing them back along with old man Al Horford, along with Peyton Pritchard already being signed. Sam Hauser is signed as well. They're bringing their entire roster back, and everybody is under contract. Again, Chris, I know you're new to this. This is not your list. This is not Zach's list. This is not Malika's list.
Never.
This is not the viewers' list. This is yours truly list, Kendrick Perkins.
Carry on. But Chris, any notes for Big Perk here?
I mean, it's hard to argue with any of it. And frankly, I would say aside from Oklahoma City, Boston should feel really, really good. I think Oklahoma City could potentially win the whole thing with what they just did with Caruso.
Ooh.
But aside from that, as much as Philly has improved, as much as the Knicks are right there, you have to feel pretty good if you're Boston because you didn't get weaker by any means. You're going to get a chance to rehab this summer. You now know that you can win it, and everybody's aiming at you. So I have no issues with the list, to be honest with you. I like Orlando. I might have had them in my list.
Orlando's a good one.
Other than that, they might have been in my top five somewhere, but
okay.
I thought – Boston, obviously, is a winner in this offseason as well.
Absolutely.
So I can't argue with Perk's list too much.
Not on Perk's list here, the Milwaukee Bucks. This is according to our Adrian Wojnarowski. They just signed free agent Gary Trent Jr. to their roster. So Milwaukee's still trying to do a couple of things to be able to bolster that roster around Giannis Antetokounmpo. Chris, thank you so much for stopping by NBA Today. The C's number one on Perk's list. Another CC that still is impressing everybody. Caitlin Clark has a tight grip on the Rookie of the Year race. Rebecca Lobo is with us next to explain how Angel Reese could take over that party. WNBA coming in hot after this.
When eyes are on Caitlin, eyes are on the lead.
I'm just very lucky to be in this moment.
Caitlin Clark will lead.
Point, continue to be myself, and I think a lot of good will come from that.
Ooh, the race for the WNBA Rookie of the Year is essentially a two-player race as we get closer to the Olympic break. Caitlin Clark is the favorite, with Angel Reese having the next best odds. Both players are having historic seasons, right? And the conversation starts with them for their team. So now we welcome in our Hall of Famer, Rebecca Lobo, to the show. And Rebecca, both of these rookies, it's hard to choose. They've exceeded somehow sky-high expectations that have been thrust upon them entering the season. It only took Angel Reese 23 games to set the record for the most consecutive double-doubles. Caitlin Clark, just the fourth player in W history to average 15-5-5 through 25 games. So has it been Reese or Clark that has impressed you more so far this season?
You know what, Malika, both of these young women have blown me away with the way they've been able to perform on the court with such high expectations on them this season. And let's start with Angel Reese and what she's been able to do on the glass. She averages the most rebounds in the league. She averages the most offensive rebounds in the league. Now, three times in the history of the league, we have had a rookie lead the league in rebounding. We have never had a rookie. We have never had a player average 12 rebounds per game. It is absolutely remarkable what Angel has been doing on that end of the floor. And then for Caitlin Clark, of course, what she is doing on the offensive end, averaging almost 17 points a game and just under 8 assists per game. Now, once in the history of the league, we've had a rookie who's led the league in assists per game. That was 1998, Tisha Panichero. That is what Caitlin Clark is doing right now. She's kind of finally settled in. We've seen what she's been able to do over the course of the past couple weeks in terms of all of the double-digit assist games that she had. Her efficiency has been much better. So both of these young women have settled in and certainly making their mark on a league that is really hard to make your mark in when you are a rookie.
Oh, I loved what Andrea Carter said in that Imbum coming into the segment. Eyes on Caitlin Clark, eyes on Angel Reese, or eyes on the entire league. And we're going to see both of these young women in Phoenix for All-Star Weekend. But let's shift our attention, Rebecca, from Rookie of the Year to the race for the best record in the W. New York, Connecticut, they're both off to their best starts in franchise history. Tonight, Stewie, Brianna, the Liberty, they will host the Sun in a clash between two of the W's best. New York held Alyssa Thomas, right, to a season-low 3 points in their win on Wednesday. Some tough news, though, this morning. Benaja Laney Hamilton undergoing a procedure on her right knee, expected to miss approximately 4 to 6 weeks. And take a look at this. Liberty and the Sun, they have the best records in the league. The Aces, they still hold the best odds to three-peat, having the odds on MVP favorite, of course, and Asia Wilson dominating, right? That helps Vegas. They've won 10 of their last 11 games. So, Rebecca, what team do you think poses the biggest threat to stopping the Aces in a three-peat here?
Well, Malika, what's crazy is the way the standings are right now. If the season ended like this with Vegas as a three seed, they'd have to get through both of them. They'd have to get through Connecticut first and then through the New York Liberty. But I think the toughest team will be the New York Liberty. And the reason is they have the more experienced backcourt. And in particular, when you get to a playoff setting, that kind of experience could matter. And the news about Benaja Laney Hamilton is huge. She is the New York Liberty's best perimeter defender. She's the player on their roster who has the best plus minus for this team so far this season. A year ago, when the teams met in the finals, she was key for New York on the defensive end, first guarding Chelsea Gray and then guarding Jackie Young. I don't know if the New York Liberty would be able to beat Vegas without a healthy Benaja Laney Hamilton. I think they could with her, but that's a huge injury. That's something that fans should certainly keep an eye on throughout the course of the Olympic break and when these teams return.
Right, because if it is that 4 to 6 week timeline that we see, then her return would line up just after the Olympic break, and the closer that they can keep to that as they're ramping up towards the postseason, that would be key here. Rebecca, thank you so much, as always, for stopping by WNBA Today. This is actually our final WNBA game before the All-Star break, and it is going to be a good one. Wednesday, Caitlin Clark leads the Fever against Arike Ogunbowale and the Wings. That's at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific on ESPN and Deportes. Coverage tips with WNBA Countdown at 7 o'clock. Shifting to some sad news now out of the basketball world. Former NBA player Joe Jellybean Bryant, the father, of course, of Hall of Famer Kobe Bryant, has died at the age of 69. Bryant played parts of 8 seasons in the NBA, making the NBA Finals with the 76ers in 1977, and then also playing stints with the Clippers and the Rockets. His late son, Kobe, told ESPN in 2010 that Joe was, quote, a great basketball mind, and he credited his father with teaching him, quote, from an early age, how to view the game, how to prepare for the game, and how to execute. Magic Johnson, he posted this message on social media earlier. He said, I am devastated to hear about the loss of my friend Joe Jellybean Bryant, the father of Kobe Bryant. Joe was not only a talented basketball player, he was also a great coach. And a lot of people don't know that he coached the LA Sparks in 2005, 2006, and 2011. He was an exceptional human being with a radiant smile that had the power to brighten any room and a great husband and father. Cookie and I are praying for his wife, Pam, his daughters, and the rest of the Bryant family, friends, and all of those who loved Joe.
You want to give it to
me? I ain't never told him that story.
Oh. Larry Hughes is my dad's best friend. They played on the Cavs together. My mom took me to a game in Memphis. I wanted to meet LeBron, and I wanted to get a picture with him and an autograph. He was like, I'm out, I gotta go. And I got in the car, started crying.
He asked me for my autograph and I didn't give it to him. What was that?
I was like, I love it.
That's why you dunked on me though. Yeah. That's why you dunked on me in the conference finals.
It's a gift back.
Oh, the gift back. Now we know why. Who could forget? Tatum's rack attack over LeBron, but where does it rank all time? It's time for a little top of the top, best rookie dunk. So we're going to start top posters here. Timofey Mozgov, oh, in 2010 here, Perk. Sorry.
I feel bad for my boy T-Moz. I was on the other side of that before, too, with Blake Griffin.
Yeah, but you weren't on the other side of Jaw. Look out below. Oh, my goodness. And then Aaron Baines. Oh, my God, Ant-Man on Utah Watanabe in 2021. I think Utah actually, like, tweeted about this afterwards, just letting everyone know he was all right. This is top acrobatic Zach MJ's, the MSG cradle.
Poster. Ooh. We all had that poster in our rooms back in the day.
Oh, and then the 360 from
Kobe. Oh, no, 360.
And then LeBron. Ah. That patented windmill. Oof. You think he can still do that, Perk? That was 2004.
Yeah, Yuri Welsh isn't going to catch him.
All right, what about some top reverse, guys? This is Sean Kemp down the lane, 1990.
Rain Man.
Oh, my God. Touch your ankles with it then.
Then
bring
Vince
back
Carter.
The Sonics and bring back those uniforms.
I mean, Vince is up and under, though.
Oh, my God.
No one could do it like Vince.
That was a windmill.
It was like a windmill reverse. All right, Perk, this is for you. Top big man. This is Shaq when he literally ripped down the rim.
I'm talking about really snatching the screws out the basket. That's the definition right there.
Oh, watch out for the shot clock.
Not even screws. Oh, all right. Tim Duncan.
Oh, chill out, Timmy. Hey. Look, Timmy, man, that's that young Timmy right there.
Yeah, 1998 Timmy. All right, that's going to do it for us here on NBA Today. Thank you so much for spending a little bit of your afternoon with us. We're going to see you tomorrow. Perk, what you getting into the rest of the day?
Oh, nothing. Just doing some things around the house and, you know, taking the boys to practice and just doing what I do best.
I love that we just get a little Perk lowdown here. All right, everybody, we'll see you tomorrow. Thanks so much.
I'm going to practice my windmill dunks.